sleep deprivation, frustrated partners, rage-filled days, anger, anguish, and occasionally a smattering of joy. That's right, football season is back upon us. Will Wolf still be with us by the time we finish recording this podcast? Is Kouyaté the new Kabay? Is Maya the new Messiah? Or is he actually a bit of a dick? We'll be discussing all this and more on the Exiled Eagles season preview podcast. So I'm joined by Australia's very own grumpy old men, Dale Courty. Hey.
Hello.
Rob Seltzer, how you doing?
Really?
And Mike Werner, how's tricks, mate?
Good evening, Tony. I'm well.
That's what I like to hear. Okay, so excitement levels. Are we buzzing about the new season? Mark, how are you feeling about it?
Yeah, I am excited. Nothing too over the top, mate, with the World Cup and so forth just finished. I've actually gone into a little bit of a football detox after that because I just thought I need to step away for a minute and incorporate the other things in my life that have been lacking attention of late. And it's
Well, you've had 3 weeks, so that's enough.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, kind of Australia are out before that, mate.
I had a little bit more time than you guys, but it's crept up on us, and but it's probably only been about the last sort of week to 10 days that I've really gotten into it. I thought, oh yeah, shit, okay, this weekend we're away again. So, yeah, mate, pretty pumped. And once a day rolls around, and you know, get to the pub and pull the kid on and be gagging for it.
Absolutely, Dale, you buzzing?
I am. Unlike Mark, I haven't really had any time away from football, working in football, and it being the peak of the season here and coaching just means that it has been 24/7. But I cannot wait for Sunday night for us. Cannot wait. Actually going into the first game of the season optimistic for once.
What could possibly go wrong?
I know.
Rob. Can you be the other side of the coin, please?
Exactly. Well, firstly, if that's Mark excited, I don't want to see him when he's down, because Mark got... are you excited? Yeah.
Doing it tough. I'm
looking forward to it. If nothing else, that even if I can't get up to watch it live because the little one's not sleeping well, it gives me 2 hours off from the kids on a Sunday, so I can't wait to get into it. But we've got... Yeah, I think it's shaping up to be pretty good, isn't it? All in all. I'm not going to say how optimistic I am because Dale's already ruined that for everyone. So, I'm looking forward to it. It's been too long. It's been too long since we won 5-1 and everything was gravy.
Yeah, they were good times. They were good times. All right, well, let's get straight down to business then and do what we've been doing basically all pre-season. And let's speculate wildly with no basis and fact on any potential signings. So, Rob, who do you reckon you'd like to see at the club? Is there anyone you think we really need? Any positions we need to fill?
I definitely think we need. I'd like to see maybe one other centre-back come in with a bit of experience. Obviously, Tompkins and Sacco, number one and number two, but historically speaking, we're not going to get a full season out of both. Dan's obviously been out for a long time. Kelly's a great backup, but, you know, if we want to take that next level, we do need someone else to be there. And I think we definitely need someone else, like a small nippy striker that can play as a winger. Would be the other position. Because obviously we're looking at Wilf up front now. We've got three lumps in Benteke, Sorloth and Wickham, so that's sorted. Jordan Ayew would be pretty good. He works, for everything I've read about, he works hard. He likes to shoot. He can be that buzzing around Benteke. To be honest with you, I don't play enough FIFA or Championship Manager to know of any other players I'd want to bring in, so I'll ask Dale about that after his Mason Mount update derby on Friday night. But I think they're the two. Other, I mean, we're fairly stacked in the centre midfield and everywhere else is looking pretty good.
And if we did sign Ayew, would you be sad to see Gyro go the other way?
Yes and no. Yes and no. Look, there's potential there, but you can't keep people on potential. You know, Johnny Williams had immense potential. He never quite reached it. I mean, Jordan Mutch at one point had potential, apparently. Look where, I mean, so, you know, if Hodgson doesn't think he's the biscuit yet, you know, go to the championship. If we will have a set on, I'm assuming we'll put a set on clause in there if he goes. And if he didn't go, becomes a world beater, fantastic world player Gyro. But at the moment, he's not going to feature. So there's no point in him being it. To be honest with you, you know, we've carried enough players over the past 3 years. So yes and no.
Yeah, if we got a chance to get rid of him, we might as well. Otherwise, we've got the whole situation like we got with Much, where he's just sitting there earning money every week and not playing, which is annoying. Exactly. What about you, Dale? You got any thoughts on who you'd like to see the club bring in?
There was one who I was saving for the pod, but I saw there was a transfer request gone in for him, and that's a friend from Middlesbrough at the back. I like him, think he's quality. I think he would definitely add to us. The problem with him is if he comes in as a first choice, and we're not necessarily after a first choice right now. I am the same as Rob, a nippy striker. So anyone in, I'm going to say this to get Palace fans excited, but I do not want him. Someone in the Dwight Gale mould. But I would take Jordan Ayew hands down. I was pretty annoyed a couple of years ago when both Ayews went to Swansea and we weren't in for them. I thought then they're the type of strikers we need, and especially now we need one of those to supplement a big guy. Aside from that, I think we're pretty well stocked at the moment. Just it's going to be someone coming on loan. We know it. Mm-hmm. It's obvious. Someone's going to come in on loan.
Yeah.
Whether it's Ruben Loftus-Cheek, I don't know. Whether it's a defender from somewhere, only Hodgson knows the target. So wait and see.
Yeah. Mark, you got anything you want to add to that?
Just on the point that Rob mentioned, for a central defender, I reckon Trent Sainsbury might be a good option. Australian guy who I thought played really well in the World Cup and has done pretty well in the national colours.
Yeah, I agree, he's good.
Very solid, just walked out on his Chinese club, Jiangsu Suning. I hope I got that pronunciation correct. And he's pretty solid. Get him for nothing, obviously, at the moment. And to touch on what Dale mentioned for a zippy guy up top, I'd be opting for Daniel Arzani or Jamie McLaren.
but Mark, the problem with that is Azani's contract and who actually now owns his contract and how and where their philosophy is they'll only send him somewhere that plays a similar style of football, which rules him out of coming to Palace.
Right, I know. I heard or read whispers yesterday he's off to Celtic actually to join Rodgers and Tommy Rodgers over there. I heard Jamie McLaren going to your mob, Melbourne Victory, Tony, is that right?
That is true that he's going to Melbourne Victory. I'm not sure it's so true it's my mob. That's a long story. Can't be bothered to explain.
You do a whole pod on that.
So just obviously for a bit of Aussie flavour, that'd be guys who I think are in our budget and would like to see slot in, none of which will happen, but names
would be nice.
For your question,
just on Daniel Arzani, he was spotted one of the fields down in Sydney last week Thursday, so he played in the local association where I work, and he was just down kicking the ball about on his own, keeping sharp, which is pretty good to see.
Right, that's cool. That's cool. Yeah, he's going to be a gun player, or he's already a gun player. He can be really good.
Promising.
Yeah.
Niche it up.
And, okay, what do we all think about Wolf? Dale, what's your thoughts? Is he going to be a Crystal Palace player in 2 or 3 days' time?
I think I said on the penultimate pod last year, or the last pod, that he's not going to go anywhere. When I saw you on Saturday, Tony, I said I wake up every morning and the first thing I do is check to see he hasn't gone. The speculation won't go away. I think the club's been very, very clever. Right? Transfer fees are only worth what someone's willing to pay. And I think the club have ultimately realised in this market now, people won't pay 70 million for Wilf. Right? To us, he's irreplaceable. People won't pay 70 million for Wilf. So it scares off Tottenham. It scares off Arsenal. All these clubs we know will not pay 70 million. The biggest concern for me now is that Chelsea have come along and said, well, potentially we'll pay 70 million now. And if they chuck in Loftus-Cheek, do the club's eyes do their head gets turned? I don't know. I'd like to think that Chelsea would rather not spend 70 million on Wilf, and Sarri will go back to Italy and Napoli and take Dries Mertens or somebody like that. But look, the sooner that window closes, the better.
Yeah, totally. It's just worrying that there's like, it's a rumour that's been going around for a while. I haven't been that worried, but it's just sort of really hotted up recently. And
it has.
Yeah, it's starting to get me a bit concerned. And Rob, what do you reckon about all this? Yeah, go on.
You know, I think he'll stay. I think he'll stay because I think it's too late. Unless it's already happened, basically. And so Wolves announces, for example, a Chelsea player, and then literally the second later we announce our player, it's not happening. We're not doing it too this late. We'll get to it later on about everyone hates Parrish and Dougie, but they're not stupid. So unless it's all sorted, like Wolves gone with the money's in and the next player's in, it's not happening.
Well, okay. Well, that brings me on to the next point. Yalla. Like, there's a lot of talk all of a sudden, the last 24 hours, that he's coming back. That wouldn't be related to it, surely. We would not be replacing Wilf with Yalla.
Nah, see, that was, I remember when they were both doing bits, as PVO likes to say now.
But he loves it.
If you look where Yalla was, Yalla's basically a street footballer that occasionally his right foot puts one to the top right-hand corner, but you know, he's fun to watch. He's great to watch. He's got skills coming out of everywhere. But I mean, he's basically a freestyle footballer that's playing in the Premier League. Whereas Wilf has added to his game. He's got all the skills, but now he's got the final decision making. He scored 4-4 in pre-season. He scored. He would have, if you'd stayed fit, he'd have got at least 10 goals last season. He's gone on leaps and bounds. Unfortunately, Yalla was obviously injured for 18 months, and you know, it's kind of, he's definitely one. Thank you very much for the time you were here, but it's time to move on from Yalla for me.
Yeah, totally. Mark, now, if Wolf stayed, would you like Bolasie back? I mean, or do you reckon his best days are behind him?
No, not necessarily. I think, yeah, we probably got the best out of him or saw the best of him. And then he had a bad run with injury. And I just think it's kind of going backwards, mate, to get him back. You know, if the money was right and it's nice to have him in the wings, fair enough. But I don't think he'd be that keen to come back and play probably the bit role that might be on offer for him, if that was the case. But no, I'd pass on it. I reckon there's bigger fish to fry or other avenues to look into than the process of getting him back and the rigmarole that would bring with it.
Perennially injured old player. Yeah. No, I agree with you. All right, so that's all the players we'd like to see. What about thoughts on who we have signed? Mark, are you happy with the business that we've done?
Yeah, it was quiet for a while, wasn't it? There's only Guaita to speak of, and even that seemed very rocky there for a bit, even though we had a pre-contract sign and all this business and was on a free, and then it appeared that we were even going to muck that up. And I thought, wow, this is next level. But we got him in and put that to bed. The Maya situation could go either way. Certainly a lot of potential there. With the clubs being touted, looking at him and so forth. I think it just might hinge on what attitude he brings with him to the club. If he's switched on and prepared to do the work on what's asked of him, mate, reckon the sky's the limit for the guy, and, you know, we could make a few bob out of it. Kiyote, yeah, good acquisition, mate. Didn't break the bank on it. So, yeah, we'll see. I think probably a lot of it, you know, the pass mark may rest on how our loans pan out and who they may be.
Yep.
But at the moment, yeah, I think it's pretty fair. And the fact there's just a couple of names to talk about is exciting compared to, you know, well, it was only 10 days ago and it was just a keeper. So, yeah, heading in the right direction, mate. We'll see. Hopefully we've got some good loans coming in, and the Loftus cheek talk that's not quashed just yet, but we'll see. Yeah,
still being bandied about.
Yes, yeah. It is.
And Dale, what's your understanding then on the Maya the wage situation and his sort of remuneration, because you're sort of explaining on Saturday, I think it's spread over 170 grand, it's not ridiculous, it's spread over 3 years or something.
So just reading between the lines, whoever it was, some journo, I think we saw the tweet, said it was 170k a week, and then everyone jumped on it, including myself. Bloody hell, we can't be paying this. This is crazy. If we pay this, Wilf will be pissed. He'll definitely leave, blah, blah, blah. But if we think about it, we are going to be paying this guy a salary. Done. There was no transfer fee apart from 450,000 compensation to Schalke. Don't understand that, but whatever. He's probably got a signing on fee of X million and some bonuses, etc., etc. So when you put it all together, it works out that this guy is on £170,000 a week, but some of it is a payment that's already been made. It's probably like saying that Pogba is on £600,000 a week. He's not, but when you lump everything in together, that's what he's going to be on. And that's why I reckon it's happened. Because there is no way on God's green earth that Crystal Palace are paying £170,000 a week for a 22-year-old who is not Wilf.
Yeah, that's right. No, I agree. And Rob, you happy with Meyer and Kiarte?
Yeah, look, to be brutally honest with you, I know Meyer's name. I've read all the things as soon as he signed, you know, who he is linked with and that type of stuff. So, yeah, that type of thing has to excite you. He's like a 22-year-old, that German international player that 18 months ago every club in Europe wanted. So he's obviously got the attitude problem, which is why he didn't go anywhere. He wanted too much money, but you know, he's had to come down a peg or two. And again, when people say that, like, we're the club that if people come down a peg or two, that's why we've got them, there's obviously something there that's not quite right. You know, you deal with it. And if we have him for a good season, he has two good seasons with us, we flog him for millions and millions of pounds, win-win. So we get that 170 grand a week back with when we sell him.
Yeah.
And Kiarte, I work with a West Ham fan, and he was quite sad to see Kiarte go. It's like, on his day, he's a poor man's Patrick Vieira. Like, he can boss things, he can run, he goes box to box, he can do everything. But he said just West Ham wasn't the right environment for him for the last couple of years. I mean, look at that. I mean, if there's ever a club that you don't want to be, it is West Ham United. I mean, that thing is an absolute shit show. So
it's toxic from top to bottom, isn't it? Exactly. So,
Unless you're Mark Noble, who's got tattooed West Ham across his face, then you're there for the money. You don't really care. He's kind of like, and Kiarte is just one of them. So he comes in, so he's got Papa. We've got loads of French speakers there, you know. Hodgson himself. Played with Luca as well. Played with obviously Tompkins too. Yeah. So he's known players already, and so comes in fresh start. And I remember when they beat us at Selhurst a couple of years ago, he bossed that.
He was amazing.
He destroyed
that game.
Us that day.
Yeah.
You're like, Jesus. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm pretty pleased.
Can I just say one thing on Meyer? The good thing about him is that we finally have a player who has some resale value. We're not going to play into the ground and then the contract expires and see you later. The reality is, we are probably going to, come on to predictions later, I'm sure, but we'll finish somewhere in the table, which probably won't be in Europe. You know, let's be honest. We will have a good season, hopefully. I know, pessimistic. Hopefully we have a good season. He has a good season. And then he has a good 18 months again. And suddenly this kid is worth 30, 40, 50 million. And we're selling a player and actually for once making a profit, which we can reinvest into the club. That actually looks like good business for once.
I know. It's weird signing a player where the first thing I'm thinking is, that'll be good when we sell him. That's good that we're getting him.
Yeah, exactly right.
Just for when we get rid of him.
So
good bit of business there by Doogie and SP. So, which brings us on to our next point. Doogie Friedman, has he done a good job, Dale? What do you reckon?
It is... I can only imagine being a director of football must be one of the toughest jobs out there, because you are essentially, a lot of it rests on your shoulders, yeah? After the manager, it rests on your shoulders. Now, has Doogie worked the masterstroke by getting Max Meyer? Probably not, because this kid was touted around everyone and no one wanted him. It was a name, and we probably just went, mate, you interested? And he's gone, yeah, all right, let's give it a whirl. Sweet. Coyote, again, I reckon, considering what's gone on at West Ham this year, they are shipping, they are literally marketing every player they don't want to every Premier League club. So he probably landed on Doogie's lap. And as the Guata, or whatever his name is, yeah, I think that's a good bit of work. I think whoever's found him, excellent, well done. Doogie, we want him to go out and find more Yannick Bolasies. Basically, we wanted to go and find more Mille Jednaks, absolute bargains, yeah, who are something special for the club. And at the moment, he's not doing that. But at the same time, we don't know really what he's been. It's very secretive what he does. So I find it difficult to criticise him, but I would love to see something special out of nowhere.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, if you ask me, I would say getting the keeper, Kiarte, and Maya for 10 million collectively for a club that's got no money is actually pretty good work.
Unbelievable, Dale. What on earth? But how you are the harshest bastard.
Yeah, but my point is, the reality is, Kose Poyet was getting shopped about. So that wasn't necessarily. No, so Poyet wasn't Doogie going out and finding him. It landed on his desk. Brilliant. Maya, by the sound of things, Maya was getting shopped about. Again, so somebody has got him over the line. It may have been Doogie. It may have been Hodgson. I don't know. But to me, it's not like he's suddenly gone out, you know, and out of nowhere we've plucked this gem from something. Do you know what I mean? That's the thing. I don't want to disparage the guy. I don't know what he does. He may be the architect behind all of that. Brilliant. Respect him. You know, I met Doogie a few times.
But he's probably not.
I was going to say that, but probably not.
I'm no director of football. Who knows?
So, Rob, you've got a different view then.
As you said, so Maya, a wonder kid in inverted commas. If you're Dale, I'm playing chat manager or FIFA. Kiarte, Guita, that's 10 mil. Throw in Bolasie, Delaney, Murray. All these guys, Ward, that he went and got, and all those players that are vital to where we are now, comes to less than we're paying Max Meyer a week. It's like, that's unbelievable. Whether they fell in his lap or not, if Kiarte is being shopped around the Premier League, which he probably was, we're not the only club that went in for him, no doubt. There's actually no way we're the only club that went in for him. Meyer was being shopped around everyone. There's absolutely no way we're the only club in for Max Meyer, especially in the Premier League. If he's come to someone like us, Everton would have been sniffing around. Southampton would be stupid not to be sniffing around. Those type of clubs. He's come to us. So
yeah.
I'm a Dougie critic as well. I haven't got a clue what he does, and especially when it was quiet. But he might be playing the most unbelievable game of standoff of all time.
Yeah.
Like, he's just held his ground. He hasn't bowed to all the bollocks that your Twitter guys have come out with and all that stuff. And in a week, we've signed Maya and Kiarte. Right. And if Gyro had gone, we'd have got IU as well. That was everyone saying that. All your Dom Firefields, your Darren's, Ed Maddians, the guys you'd actually listen to, they're all saying that was done, but Gyro didn't want to go. So that would have been three players in 3 days. And for, you know, peanuts, relative peanuts in the Premier League. So, yeah, I don't know what he does, and I'm not saying it's all him, but I think, God. I don't know what consists of a good job with you. Jesus. Hodgson gets us the Champions League. That's rubbish. Didn't win the league.
He's got Wilf. He's lucky.
Yeah.
So, Mark.
Yeah.
So, despite all these decent signings, why is it Steve Parrish repeatedly gets an absolute hammering on Twitter? Like, he gets slaughtered. Do you think that's justified or unfair?
Well, Steve, he's probably in a similar position to Dougie, where he's, you know, damned if he does and damned if he doesn't. Mate, I'm not even on Twitter, so I don't see a lot of that stuff aimed squarely at him. But, I mean, the big thing here in Australia is just tall poppy syndrome, mate. Anyone that's near the top, let's hack them down at the knees and for shits and giggles. So, I don't know. But he's always getting a bit of bit of stick, which I think is generally a bit rough. You know, I've only got to go back not that far, and it's not for him and his boys, 8-odd years ago. You know, we probably don't have a club or podcast. So at the end of the day, I think he's only got the club's best interest at heart. Some might then go on to say, oh, he gets a bit showboaty or whatever, whatever. Mate, I'd find it pretty hard to keep a lid on it if I owned a football club, you know, in the Premier League as well. So, I don't know. I think it's – I don't know exactly what the stick is that's been aimed at him, mate, but I'd say most of it is unwarranted because the guy ultimately just wants what is best for Crystal Palace Football Club and, you know, uses the resources he has available to him, dips in his pockets a lot. And, you know, if he wants to be a bit of a lair every now and then, mate, I'll give it to him. But,
I think he's earned that right. Did you see that thing he put on Twitter about the Daily Mirror?
Amazing. Oh,
brilliant.
That was so good. I did see that, with a not at the game.
That's the thing. The reason he gets stick is because he puts himself out there. Unfortunately, in this day and age, if you put yourself out there, that you're going to get trolled. Simple as.
Totally, yeah.
So, does he deserve it? No, because he's, you know, think about where we could be without him. And I'm not one of these people who's going to turn around and say, oh, he can do whatever he likes and he saved the club. He's got to continue to do a good job. But I love him. On the fact that what he goes on Twitter, he says stuff, he backs it up, he gives a bit of bants. Can't really argue with it, can you?
No, I dig it. Mm. Okay, so before we end the part, is there anything else you want to say about the sort of our signings or transfer activity?
More Ghanaians, less Senegalese.
All right, we'll have no racism on here.
But it's an Australian podcast.
Okay, well, we'll end the part there and we'll be back for part two where we'll be coming up with our predictions for the season ahead. Join us then. Hello and welcome back to Exiled Eagles, sponsored by Top Corner Recruitment. This is where we put our Mystic Meg hats on and try and come up with what we think is going to happen in the season ahead. So let's start with a sort of an easy one. Everyone, who do you think the top scorer will be this season? Rob, what do you reckon?
It's got to be Big Ben, isn't it? Like,
mm-hmm. He looks good. Yeah, he's going to be back, you reckon?
Yeah. Yeah, you look at his career. Last year was a blip in the career, whereas he scores goals everywhere. He's been in every season. I think, you know, bit of confidence behind him. He's had the rocky. He didn't make the World Cup. I think we could have a better goal return than his first season. There you go.
Oof! I'll take that. All right, Marky Mark.
I'm going for Tekkers to bounce back. This season, I reckon he will bag 17 goals for us and put last season behind him. Mate, I think he's probably in a situation where he's willing to repay the faith that we showed him in spades last season. And, I reckon he'll come through and do the business for us. 17 for me. Back in the net.
Right, that'd be nice. I mean, he definitely looked lean. I saw the highlights of that Toulouse game. He looked definitely hungrier and leaner, but he still missed quite a few fairly easy chances.
Oh, yeah, he'll miss a bag as well. But
what about you, Dale? What do you reckon?
Mate, full house, Christian Benteke.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right, good. You've got faith in him. I actually think Wolf's going to be our top scorer this season.
I think
he's going to play up top the whole time. And he looked very, very on hot form in pre-season.
The goals for Chelsea count.
Crossed. don't start that. all right, okay. And who's going to supply the assists then? Who's going to be assist king this season? What do you reckon, Dale?
Maximilian Meyer. He will be the top assist.
Yeah. Yep. And when do you reckon he'll start playing? He's not going to come straight into the team,
actually. I reckon his debut is going to be the home game against Newcastle. That's going to be his full debut, home game against Newcastle on the 22nd or something of September.
Okay, yeah, that sounds reasonable.
Only saying that, I'm going to that game, it's the only reason I say it. So.
Right, okay. You'll be there. What about you, Mark?
Mate, most assists for me, I'm going for Wilf up top. He's going to feed Tekkers most of his goals. Dare I said it.
Oh, I love it. I love it. It's the dream. That's what we all want to
That's
see.
That's it, mate.
How about you, Rob?
I'm going to go with, I'd say Wilf with the dross, the Andros, a close second. Wilf put it on the bag, but Andros was whipping in crosses all the time and Benteke thumping them in with his head.
Yeah, I know people don't love Townsend on this podcast, but I really like him. I think Andros is going to be do the business, and maybe even PVA will do some more bits and add some more assists.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, and where do you reckon we're going to finish this season, Rob?
I'm going eighth. I reckon eighth.
Oh, yeah? Fucking hell.
I've got eighth as well. I've got it as well.
Oh, have you? All right, yeah. Okay.
Can't read my writing.
The thing is, look at the clubs. You know, obviously, don't worry about the top four, really top six. Don't worry about them. But if you look at that gaggle of clubs, you know, Southampton's, Leicester's, Everton's, probably them, West Ham now, I'd rate us as good or better than most of them. Definitely first 11. I mean, I'd much rather have our squad than Everton's. I think they're shit. But yeah, I just think, like, look how we played when we've got a full season of Hodgson, a full Podson pre-season, some decent additions. Oh my God, we're going to win the league. Bugger it, we're going to win the league.
But what about the unforeseen disaster that always befalls Palace every single season?
We're going down, that's it. We're going down.
That's more like it.
Back to reality.
Yeah. Come on, Mark, what do you reckon?
Mate, close to
You're
the guys.
Optimistic guy.
I've got us penciled in for ninth. And I think we'll miss out on Europe by 2 points.
Well, very specific.
But Mark's, I agree,
Mark's on the fallout of every game, so he's got the whole the results
exactly
and scorers. He's got Benteke on 17. He's got Kane got 32 this season. Salah didn't have a good season.
I've got an all the sports bet, mate, don't you worry. When it comes in, drinks are on me.
Marky McFly with the sports almanac.
That's it. But yeah, like Rob said, I think we've got a squad just as good, if not better, than, you know, your Burnleys and that type of thing. So I think top half is not out of the question. I think we might fall agonisingly short of Europe, but I'd like to think with a few less injuries and Roy doing his bits and pieces, we may not be on the struggle streak we were for a lot of last season, and I reckon around ninth, mate.
You take it, right, okay. I can just see us being like one Wilf injury away from imploding as per usual, so I reckon 13th or 14th, and I'd still be happy with that.
Yeah.
Okay, and then to bring it back round, not including Wayne Hennessy, who do you reckon is going to be the biggest disaster on the pitch this season? Let's take a pick. Go on, Rob, what do you reckon?
Oh, biggest disaster. See, I'm going to... See, because our first team's good. Like, normally you'd say, like, yeah, it'd be Bakary Sekou, come on, and just be rubbish in when he comes on, but he's gone, so...
Yeah.
If you think of players we can come on, you know what? I think even when he does get on the pitch, if it happens, Jason Puncheon, I think, you know, he just...
Oh, yeah.
It's done, it's over, move on. But I think if he does get on, he's just... Everyone's going to be like, oh, no. So I'm going to go with Jason Puncheon.
Yeah, that's a good shout. Yeah. Mark?
Wardy for me.
Full stop.
I'm out.
All right, Dale.
he when he came back from when he had the injury, and obviously we had one Bissaka out there and lighting it up. When he came back, he had a couple of bobbles there, and I just don't think he's going to get back to where he was, and I think a lot of that might play on his mind with one Bissaka going from strength to strength. Yeah, I reckon he's just going to choke it, mate. And that's
fair enough.
That's
fair
my
enough.
Guy to screw the pooch.
Dale?
Mine's Patrick Van Aanholt. Had a very good end of last season. I mean, it surprised me last season, the second half, how good he was. I just am not sure about him defensively. I think as a winger and as a wing back, I think he's brilliant. But as a in a flat 4-4-2 or 4-5-1, I think he could just be a bit of a liability, and I think we could see a few errors coming from that side of the pitch.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Going forward, that side of the pitch is lethal, but yeah, defensively, not so much. Yeah, and I'm with Mark. I think the right-back position is probably our weakest, so I can't imagine Wan-Bissaka's going to be amazing all season, and then, yeah, Joel Ward coming in. Yeah, he was definitely a bit iffy towards the end of last season. But hopefully every other player is going to be fantastic and we're going to get to Europe, so it'll be fine.
And Hennessy will be great for us as well, so we've got no worries there.
Yeah, yeah, of course. How can we forget? And speaking of which, Saturday, playing Fulham, is Wayne Hennessy starting? What do you reckon, Mark?
I don't think he picked up an injury just in the warm-up for the Toulouse game, I believe, was on the sheet and then didn't get between the sticks. So I would say probably not. I'll stick Guaita in, and I think it's been discussed that typically over the last couple of seasons, Wayne just doesn't start as our number one, and I think this season will be no different. But I think he'll come into the fold when need be, mate, and do a good job for us.
Dale, what do you reckon?
If fit, I think he starts.
If fit. Yeah.
Yeah. There's people saying on socials that big problem with Vicente is that his command of English still is not great. And I appreciate that Wayne's Welsh and his command of English may not be great. But, you know. Now, long term, we all know why he was brought in, Guetta. So let's see. But I think Hennessy will start if he's fit.
Yeah. And any other shock selections, do you reckon, Rob? Do you reckon we could kind of pick the team pretty much?
Yeah, I think you could pick the team from Saturday, really. I agree with Dale.
Yeah.
Hennessy's fit, Hennessy starts for the reasons aforementioned. You tend to find that the team that starts the final pre-season friendly is the team that generally trots out the week after, because you know they're working on shape, they're working on everything. It's now the final dress rehearsal before the big thing, so I think we'll see that. We won't see Meyer in a squad for a good couple of weeks anyway. He's miles away, so we won't even see him on the bench, so we wouldn't worry about that. So I think whoever we bring in as well might be on the bench depending on if they've had much of a pre-season, if they've played much. If they're a striker, they probably will be. Then you've got Serlet and Wickham too, though. So yeah, I don't see many. The team that started on Saturday would be the team, apart from as long as with Wayne's fit, he starts.
Yeah, that's what I reckon. And do you reckon we'll see much of Wickham this season?
It all depends on how his body holds up. Obviously, when you've been out for so long, you know, he might have been ready to go towards the back end of the season, but you might as well keep him out. Don't rush him back and then give him this full pre-season to build up all the muscle strength, build up all that work. So I think you will see some of him, because I think he's probably better than Serlot, because as has been discussed and everywhere, like our group and socials and that stuff, Serlot was probably a bit of a panic buy. He runs around a lot, he's a big bruising bugger, but he doesn't really have the technique or the skill yet to be a Premier League striker. He doesn't kill the ball dead that you have to do. He kind of bounces off him a bit, and he's not as good as Lukaku to make up for it. So I'd say if both are fully fit, you'd probably put Wickham over Serlot at the moment. So I'd say he's number two.
Yeah, I agree. All right, well, let's wrap things up then and get score predictions for the game against Fulham. Mark, what do you reckon?
We'll concede in the first 15 minutes, but win 3-1.
Ooh. Is that what your spreadsheet says? All who right. scores? Who scores for Fulham?
Yeah, yeah.
What minute do we score? And who scores?
In the 14th minute, and I don't know, mate. For the thing, I don't know.
It's almost like you're making this up.
I haven't got that far down the road in my betting for the weekend yet, Rob. But I'll let you know. Might come to me in a dream tonight.
All right, Dale, what do you reckon?
I'll get on it.
We're going to win 3-1 as well. And obviously, the scorer for Fulham will be either Mitrovic or Schürrle, because we were linked with both of those.
Definitely going to be Mitrovic.
You know that?
Yeah,
Mitrovic. And 100%. For Palace, we're going to see three different scorers: Wilf, Christian Benteke, and Luka Milivojevic.
Yes, mate, that's a game I want to watch. I'm into it.
Yep, there you go. Mm.
Rob, are you going to bring me down to earth, or are you sticking with the 3-1?
I'm not saying 3-1. I'm saying 2-1 because I think we've drilled and we know ready to go, ready to rock and roll. I'm going to say Wilf and Benteke to score, and I'm saying Seri to score for them because I have him in my dream team.
Ah, okay, nice.
He's only 5 million, and I had to get him in because I had no money.
Right. Oh, well, that'll do.
Hidden agendas.
I reckon 2-all. I reckon you don't really want to play a newly promoted team at their gaff first game of the season. I think that's a tough one. Potential banana skin.
You mean playing at home at the start of the season?
I played Huddersfield at, exactly, mate. Exactly. Yeah. So it won't be quite as bad as that.
Fingers crossed.
We basically played Huddersfield at home with a guy from the pub managing the team.
True.
Kev.
With but given still, the same it's Huddersfield drills. At home.
Good point. All right, cool. Well, I guess we can just leave it there. It's just a shorter pod just to get us excited about the season. And, yeah, we're back in a few weeks to discuss the opening few games and see how those new signings are bedded in. So, chaps, thanks very much for being on the pod. Excellent, as per usual.
Salute. Thank you, sir.
Cheers, yeah. Tyler. Goodbye.
All right, cool. All right, thanks all. Thanks for listening. Cheers.
See you guys. Bye.
Bye. Bye.